Welcome back to the OU Daily International Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Yom Chamishi, the sixth day of the month of Adar. As always, it is great to be back with all of you. Thank you to our incredible and generous sponsors for their continued support, in particular the Schwartz family, and his names are prominently listed in the OU Daily email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my distinct honor to welcome to the Daily Call and introduce Rabbi Aaron Golkowitz of Abbas Shalom in Brooklyn, New York, to share Divrei Chizuk. She'll be immediately followed by Rabbi Golkowitz slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek, Chaf Gimel, Kuf, Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130. And it will be followed by the Mishaberach, Lecholim, and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Golkowitz to learn more about his wonderful community in Brooklyn. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker. Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Golkowitz.
Shalom Aleichem, and thank you very much, Rabbi Herman. Thank you for all the listeners for participating in this beautiful daily tefillah. I wanted to share a Dvar Torah, some words of Torah that I had heard from Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik on a very cryptic Mishnah. In an obscure Masechta, there's a tractate in the Talmud called Edoyos. Some pronounce it Edoyos. It's a tractate that listed all the testimonies that were given on the day that the Nasi, the Rosh Hashiva, was impeached. He was removed. Rabbi Gamliel was removed, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was instated, 18 years old, and it was created such an uproar that at the time all the Rabbonim needed to get up and to offer testimony as to what they had learned from their prior rabbis to make sure that the Torah would always stay authentic and not get diluted. And it's a collection of various laws on various topics covering the entirety of Talmud. Rabbi Akiva, from the greatest of all the Tanoim at the time, gets up in his turn and he starts talking about the laws of Tuma, of impurities as they relate to shoes, as they relate to ovens. And then in Perek Bey's Mishnah Tests, in the second chapter, in the ninth Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva states, "Who are you, Omer? A parent shares with his child his physical appearance, mikoyach, his strength, oisher, his wealth, b'chokhma, his wisdom, v'shanim, his longevity. In general, parents share with their children the genetics that appear. The children look dissimilar. They have the same health concerns. They have economic shared destinies and IQs, longevity. And that's a truism that applies to everybody, to all human beings. And you would wonder why Rabbi Akiva needed to state these. But it's the next line that he adds that gives meaning to the prior, and that creates the distinction. But it's also a difficult thing to understand. Rabbi Akiva adds, "V'mispar hadoros lefanov, v'hu akeitz," and literally translated into the number of generations that preceded the parent, and that's the geula, and that's the redemption. Shenamar v'kayrei hadoros meirosh, and it says, "V'avodam v'inu asam," brings down the pasuk about the children of Israel leaving Egypt and the Mitzrayim, Avodim b'Inuos Ma'amorim Meishonu B'Dor Ravi Yeshuvu. So it's a very difficult Mishnah to understand. Rabbi Soloveitchik explains it very simply and beautifully. And it's a tremendous message for everybody to remember. It's true that the first five attributes reflect the generic attributes of a parent to a child that applies to all humankind. But there's one aspect of a Jewish parent with a Jewish child that is very unique and different. In the secular world, knowledge is very cumulative. And the science of today's generation is far more advanced than the science of prior generations. Nobody would expect Newton to go today and try to, if he were alive, to develop an atomic bomb. Nobody would expect a brain surgeon of 500 years ago to operate today, because the knowledge on the science and the medicine and on all life is far more advanced than it was in the years and generations from before. But that's not the way the Torah knowledge works. In Torah knowledge, the further we distance ourselves from Har Sinai, the more diluted the Torah becomes. And it's very clear that if somebody had a question of whether a pot is kosher or not kosher, and you had a present rabbi in our generation, as great as they may be, but if you had the Rambam in front of him or Rabbi Akiva in front of him, clearly the question would be posed to the rabbi from earlier generations. And that, Rabbi Soloveitchik says, is the essence of what the Jewish Masorah is about, that we don't look at ourselves as more advanced than our predecessors, of our parents and our grandparents, but rather we look ourselves as a continuation, and that we stand on their shoulders. They're the ones that are supporting us. It's their Torah that we learn. It's their Masorah that we learn. And this is a message that in all life, that what a parent gives a father and a mother give to their child, they give over this continuity of prior generations. And every single holiday, we're going to celebrate Purim, but every single holiday has at the core this continuity, this continuation of this connection that we have to the prior generations. Everybody should be zeichet to have a Simchas Purim with a Simchas Chayim. Now, I would like to say the Tehillim and the Psalms. We're going to start with the chapter 21, 23, I think. Chof Gimel. Mizmor LeDavid, Adonai Ra'i Lo Yachzor, Binois Desha, Yar Bitzeni, Almei Menuchos Yinal Leini, Nafshi Yeshovev, Yancheni b'maglei tzedek l'man shemo. Gam ki eilech b'gei tzalmoves loy ira ro ki ato imodi. Shiftecho v'mishantecho heimo yinachamuni. Taroich lefonai shulchon neged tzeriroi. Dishanto b'shemen roshi kosi rivoyo. Ach toivo chesed yudafuni ko yimecha yoy. V'shafti b'veis adinoi li'erech yomim. Now we'll say together the chapter 121, Kuf Chof Aleph. Shir LaMalos. Esoi Nai El Horim, Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Me'im Adonai, Osei Shamayim Va'aretz. Al Yitein Lamoit Raglacho, Al Yanum Shem Recho. Adonai Shem Recho, Adonai Tzilucho Yad Yiminecho. Yemom HaShemesh lo yakeko, v'yoreach b'loilo. Adonai yishmorcho mikol ro, yishmor es nafshecho. Adonai yishmor tzeisecho v'yecho, me'ato v'yad elom. And now we'll say, chapter Kuf Lamed, 130. Shir ha-ma'alos, mima ma'akim, throsicho Adonai. Adonai shimo v'keili, Tieno znecho kashivois lekoil tachanunoi. Im avinois tishmo yo, adinoi mi amoid. Ki imcho aslicho, Laman Tibore. Kibisi Adinoi, Kibisov Napshi, the Lid Voroi Hecholti. Napshi Ladinoi, Mishemrim Labaker, Shemrim Labaker. Yachel Yisrael Adinoi, Kim Adinoi Achesed, Vyarbei Mephidus, Behu Yiftes Yisrael, Mikol Avinozov. I'm going to say a Misha Berech, a prayer for the sick. I will pause in the. Everybody is asked to insert the names of those that need a refuah, a speedy recovery. Misha Berech Aviseinu Avram Yitzchok V'Yakov. Moshe V'Aaron David U'Shlomo Hu Yivorech V'Yarape Esacholim. Bavur shanachnu mispalalim bavurom. Bescharze hakodesh baruch hu yimali rachmim aleihem lachlimom lapoisom lachzikom lachyesom. Veyishlach lohem mehera refua shleima min hashamayim lachol evareihem lachol yideihem besoch shar chol yisrael refuas hanefesh refuas haguf hashlo bagalozman kariv v'neimar amen. Achenu kol beis Yisrael, anasunim b'tzoro uveshivyo, oimdim bein bayom, bein bayabosho, amalkoim yirachem aleihem, yetziyeh mitzoro l'ruvocho, meyafelo l'oiro, mishibud l'geulo, hashto, magalov zman kariv, v'naymar amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Goldquist, as we transition into the next segment of our call. First and foremost, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Baruch Hashem, thank God. I personally had corona in the beginning time last year, and now I'm fine, and we have the vaccines already, my wife included, and everybody else. I mean, unfortunately, we had losses in our community, like every all other communities, and it was difficult to even experience. There was no shiva, there's nothing. It was the difficult times, and we still continue. We need to get out of this, but the light is at the end of the tunnel.
Certainly so, and we're sorry for the losses that the community experienced, but are grateful that you, Rebbetzin, and the community are doing well now. So to get us started, for our listeners who might not be as familiar with your community, would it be possible to give us a brief overview of the shul and really the community in general?
Sure. Well, it's Brooklyn. We are in Flatbush, and it's a place where there's not a shortage of shuls. There's plenty of shuls around. You know, you have all types in here. My particular shul is also a mixture. You have more right-wing yeshivas, you have more modern Orthodox, but it's a combination, but it's a small congregation. It was started, I think, about 35 years ago, and it's in my house, and it's just what you would call a shtetl, but we daven Ashkenaz, and it's a small group, but it's a very intimate group, it's a very informal group, and the people daven here, I think, feel very closely connected to each other, so it's a very special. It's called Ava Shalom, and I think Pshuto Kamashmo, it tries to live up to its meaning.
Well, certainly beautiful. I wonder, is it an oxymoron? Is it how frequently are shtibel actually davening the Sech Ashkenaz? I can't imagine that's.
Well, I use the word shtibel informally and colloquially. The shtibel is like a ballpark invention. Maybe it's a European invention, I don't even know, but I guess referred to as a shtibel only because it's in the house. I mean, you know, it's typically, but I don't know the answer to that question. It's an interesting question. You know, what are the number of shtibels that are Ashkenaz? The Ashkenaz itself is a dying breed, so I don't know how many more are around. Interesting. I created a similar. We have a minion, and I split my time now between Brooklyn and Boynton Beach. So I created a minion in Boynton Beach as well. So so we have also a Daven Ashkenaz there. So
beautiful.
In two places.
as a Yeki with my German roots, which is Ashkenaz, I'll gently push back that I think Ashkenaz is alive and well in many, many parts of the country
Good.
Well.
You know,
maybe less so in Brooklyn, but
I hope so. No, you're right. Out of town, it's out of New York, it's much more prominent. That is correct.
For sure. We'll go on to our next question. What motivated, what propelled, what drove you, what pushed you, what was the intention to go into the rabbinate, to become a rabbi of the shul, to become a pulpit rabbi?
It's an interesting question. I would say, you know, it started historically. Somebody asked me to join some bungalow colony. We have bungalow colonies here in New York, and they go up to the Catskills for the summertime. And when we went there, on Shabbos, they started learning together. And as we were learning together, they asked me to give a shiur. I'm a graduate of Ner Yisrael, so they I started giving a shiur there. And then after the 1 year, 2 years of giving a shiur, they said, when you come back in the city, they want to continue hearing shiurims. So I started giving shiurim, these lectures during the year as well. And then the group said, let's create a minyan. And so, hence, the minyan was formed. It's a desire to learn. I always enjoy learning, and I always enjoy teaching, especially.
Amazing to be able to take those desires and those passions and everyone you come in contact with, including all of us today, are the beneficiaries of that. Our last question for today, and you alluded to this prior, that there is light at the end of the tunnel. For those who have been vaccinated, and those who guys will be vaccinated soon, that we're not there yet because we still have a lot to go, but we're in this process of emerging from COVID. And when you think about your shul, you think about the broader Jewish community, what communal changes do you anticipate as we move forward?
Well, so interesting. I don't know specifically what type of changes. I do think that the reality has been that even those that may have resisted the use of internet, but this pandemic has forced people to understand, at least most cases, that you can learn and that the internet can be used for a lot of good. And not only these conference calls, but you have Zoom calls. I personally, I was giving shiurim, and the shiurim now became online with FaceTime and Zooming. And every morning, when I'm in Florida, I'm giving a shiur to Brooklyn. You know, if I'm here, I'm giving a shiur there. So you have this constant ability to interact with people, and that's a tremendous thing. I don't think that's going away. Everything else, I mean, I would like to think that everybody has a heightened appreciation of what a shul is. What going to yeshiva is about. I know the first time when I davened, happened to have been, I was in Florida at the time. We drove to Florida, and we were scared even to fly. This is in the middle of Sphira, we said, let's get the minyan, let's put it outside. First time I davened, I started crying. I mean, it's something very difficult. I hadn't davened for several months with a minyan, and it was something that I missed very much. I'm sure everybody felt similar feelings. And even now, when I daven more regularly with the minyan and the shul's a little bit more active, with all these safeguards and masks and social distancing, I still feel that same feeling I felt when I came back. You know, the whole world had the same pandemic, same situation. But one thing, especially with the Orthodox, if you went to shul regularly and you can't go to shul, it's like there was a churban beis hamikdash. The shuls are the mikdash ma'at, and when you can't use the shuls, that's another churban. We felt such a destruction amongst our people. We felt there was a very big effect, more so from the Jewish people than anybody else, I think. And now that we're slowly coming back and into that mode of using the shuls, I would hope that memory of what it was like to be without a shul stays for us forever, and something that we always will keep in mind.
I hope so as well. I remember having a similar feeling at the time, and we hope that it's not just a fleeting moment, a flash in the pan of inspiration, but that it stays with us without. And it's never something we have to go through again, because I remember that last mincha in shul down here in Boca, when the shul had announced earlier in the day, it was a Friday afternoon, that they'd,
yeah,
that
no,
be closing.
It was tragic.
And
I was the first shul to close in Flatbush. And
wow.
I closed on a Monday, and people closed Wednesday. I mean, they were, and I just couldn't take it. It was something that I felt was important to close, and it was so difficult for me to make that decision to pull the trigger. But it was
the right decision.
Yeah, no, I do think so. Even today, even in hindsight, I think
yeah.
it was the right decision. Yeah.
But we had another rabbi on the call a few days ago, Rabbi Alan Schwartz. He's a rabbi on the Upper West Side in Manhattan. And the imagery he shared with us is that Hashem missed us. And Hashem, you know, was certainly looking forward to us coming back. And now that we're back, we hope that we're never in a scenario like that again, where we're not able to go to shul to encounter the Kaddish Baruch
Hu. Yeah, no. Very much so, yes.
Rabbi Goldgood, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community, as they are with all Klal Yisrael of the entire world. Our thoughts and our tefillos, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. Both communities, Brooklyn and Boyan. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all of those in need will be answered, latova, for good, and may the Rabbonu Sha'olam, the master of the world, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Friday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, as we will hear words of inspiration from Rabbi Mark Wild of Manhattan Jewish Experience in Manhattan, New York. With hearts full of faith, be strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.